Appreciate the privilege to be here again this year, and I appreciate the goodness of the Lord, and I sure don't deserve to be here, amen. But I appreciate the goodness of God allowing us the privilege to be alive and serve Him, amen. And appreciate the service thus far, and I appreciate everything that God's done and speaking to our hearts. Appreciate the good singing, amen. And just been a blessing from the Lord. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to one verse of Scripture in the book of Ephesians. Chapter number 6, I believe it is. Ephesians chapter number 6, and we'll try to look at this passage of Scripture. Preaching is a very serious thing, amen. It humbles my heart to be able to be here, and one of my biggest battles in life is I know me, amen. And amen, and God help us, amen. Appreciate the goodness of the Lord. Just feel like I want to say a few things. We had some unusual services on Sunday, and I want to tell you this because it just amazes me how God works, amen, in mysterious ways. And I know on Sunday folks kind of got to testifying right after the choir singing, and I'm just the type of person, I tell our folk, if you need to go, you go home. I'm here till God gets done doing what He needs to do. I'm just that way. I don't govern our services because of opinions or what everybody else thinks or they got things to do. I feel like Sunday's the Lord's day. Amen. It's His day. All day. Amen. Not till 12 o'clock and not just to 12:30. It's His day. And folks got to testify and people started apologizing. People sincerely, family members, loved ones. And I looked at my watch. I never looked at it much and looked at my watch and it was after 2:30. And I was trying to debate about what to do. I wasn't trying to procrastinate the service. Brother Willis, I'm the type of person, I've stayed at church all day because I feel like God told me that I was not to go home. I need to stay there all day and to try to obey Him. And the Lord said, just let everybody fellowship. Tell those that need to go, let them go. And I said, my heart won't let me go. Well, that transpired. We come back in about 10, 15 minutes later. And the crowd had dissipated, and there's probably about a third of the people that stayed. And God said, now I want you to pray for revival. And because God told me in my heart that those that are sincere about revival and really want something from God are the only ones that's going to hang around in a situation like that. We prayed for revival. I mean, nothing major happened. Just a normal atmosphere, and we got out of there about 10 after 3. We come back Sunday night, and I preached, and I'm telling this for a reason. And we preached, and to be truthful with you, it's dead. Amen. It's one of those services you can't wait to get out of here and mash the escape button and go home. Amen. And we was shaking hands and standing at the door, and I would walk back to my study, and I had a young man come and get me. He's been coming to church. He professes to be a young preacher, and he's a preacher's son. I mean, come to church, and just he come and got me, and I could tell that he's real mad. And I'm building up to something here. Well, went into my study, and him and another man, 50-something years old, he had visited too, and they knew each other. And the older gentleman told him he didn't want him sitting by his son because he felt like he was a bad influence. And I feel like he's got every right in the world to do that. Amen. And well, little did I know that they got into it in the mission room, and there's just about to fight. And so they come and get the preacher, the referee, amen. And so I walk in there, and I'm thinking, dear God, amen. You know, and I'm flipping through my manual, you know, what to do in the preacher's manual, amen, amen. And I feel like I need to write another chapter, amen. And I'm sitting there, I'm listening, I'm just sitting there listening. And I feel like the Lord spoke to my heart. Now, this is a supposedly preacher's son and professed to be a little preacher. And all of a sudden, I just felt like the Holy Ghost, the older gentleman said, preacher, I've had all I can take, I'm going to go. And I feel like the Lord said, you need to talk to this young man. Now, that I'm talking about pale as a ghost, fixing a fight. And I feel like the Lord wants me to tell this. So the older gentleman walks out, and I just sat down in the little glider rocker where the ladies use, and I just sat back and started talking to him. I said, what's the matter with you? And he started crying. He said, I'm scared of people. I said, being a preacher's kid, I'm just scared of people. And I said, you're always defending yourself, trying to prove to everybody what you are and who you are and what the way you live. And I just began to witness to him, I just started to talk to him, and Lord just gave me that boldness, and I just started talking to him, and I said, "Who are you?" And I said, "I don't even know you." And all of a sudden he said something about being saved as a 6-year-old boy. And I said, "Are you really saved?" And he said, "Oh yeah, preacher, I'm really saved." And then I went on through there and he said a few more words, and I looked at him again. I said, "I don't even know you." And I called his name. I said, "Who is this?" And all of a sudden he said something like this, Brother Rackley. He said, "You know, I've been doubting for the last couple of weeks that I was even saved." And he said, "I don't think I'm really saved." Now here's two men almost in a brawl and a fight. And God took this. And I looked at him and I said it again. I said, "I don't even know you," because I didn't. And all of a sudden he says, "I'm lost. I'm lost. I'm lost." And he fell in the floor, piled up underneath me, curled up under me like a little puppy. My arm around him. And I'm telling you, I ain't never felt this. I mean, I felt that demonic powers leave him. And I mean, I felt it. You could see it on his face. And he just cried out and begged God to save him. Amen. And I just stand amazed, amen, at how God could let something like that happen. I'm talking about these two men was fixing to fight, amen. I mean, literally fight and turn around. Boy, you better be sensitive to the Holy Ghost, amen. Boy, he got up with a glow on his face, calling everybody. He's texting me and said, "Preacher, I love you with all my heart and thanking me." I'm telling you something, amen. God can work miracles in something we don't even know what in the world is going on, amen. And he did it, amen. And he got saved by the grace of God, amen. And so I appreciate that from the depths of my heart, amen. And I really felt like I ought to share that, because people think in our day and hour, well, everything's just negative. God ain't going to do nothing. Well, God used something negative to turn around and get a hold of that boy's heart to see who he really was, amen. And he got saved by the grace of God. And so I appreciate the goodness of the Lord, amen. If we're physically able, I'd love for us to stand in reverence to the reading of the King James Authorized Bible. Thank you, dear pastor, for the privilege and opportunity is to represent the Lord. I don't take it for lightly at all. Amen. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 6, I want to use this, amen, as the, if you could say, the cover page of the message and what God's put upon my heart today. But the Bible says in verse number 11, very familiar passage of Scripture, but I just want to use this as a springboard or something of that nature. But the Bible said, verse 11, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." Well, that'll help you in your Christian life, is realize that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod at the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Amen. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for the privilege it is to bow before you, Lord, once again this morning. God, you do not make mistakes. And I thank you, God, that you've ordained, God, this service, Lord, today. And I thank you for that. And I praise you for who you are and praise you for what you are. And Lord, my soul is very humbled, God, as we come down to this time, this day. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, you'd please help us to understand, God, the awesome responsibility that's laid upon us, God, today to present, Lord, to these people, Lord, what you put upon our heart. Pray that, God, you'd give them receptive hearts and receptive ears to receive what thus saith the Lord. And I pray above all things that your will would be done. And God, you'd please deal with that soul that's near his tail. Meet the need of every hearer. And we will thank you and we will praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing in reverence to the reading of the King James Authorized Bible. Amen. And I appreciate the Word of God. Amen. And I appreciate the King James Bible. I'm not ashamed of it. Amen. I try to emphasize that because it is becoming a thing of the past. Amen. That we believe the King James Bible. I want to look at this scripture this evening, and I just want to point out an emphasis in this passage of scripture and then pick up where God would have us to pick up. And the Bible said in verse 11, he said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. Amen. And then also down in the scriptures in verse number 13, he uses the same thought. He says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And then in verse 14, the Bible clearly teaches, he said, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Notice the common denominator here is the word and the thought of standing and withstanding. Amen. And God makes the statement here that we're living in a day and hour where we need to take a stand. Amen. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. It seems the atmosphere of the meeting is a little bit different this year in challenging us in these days and these hours to take a stand, amen, against evil and stand for what God, amen, has called us to stand for. But as you look at this passage of scripture, you want to follow with us in the book of 1 Corinthians is where our text will be today. First Corinthians chapter number 10. The Bible makes a statement, and Paul does, through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost in verse number 12. The Bible said, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Amen. As I say in the outset of this message, God has really burdened my heart about this today. And you say, preacher, what's on your heart for the service today? And I want to say this, that, amen, it is a day and hour that we are seeing. I think about the scripture says, how art the mighty fallen? And I think about what the scripture talks about, amen, in that aspect, how are people falling? Amen. And I thought about this context of the scripture, amen. And I think about, we can't afford to lose any more of our people, amen. Amen, amen. They're falling left and right, amen. Whether it's totally becoming apostate, or whether it's just getting out of the ministry, or whether, I mean, preachers left and right committing suicide, we're losing our backbone in this day and hour, amen. Now, we may not shout today, but I want to give you the burden of my heart. Amen. Now, as we look in the book of 1 Corinthians, I find, amen, I love the book of Corinthians because it develops a great atmosphere in our heart that is very, very much, amen, if you could say, like the atmosphere that we live in this day and hour. It's a day and hour that, amen, men are filled with carnality and men are filled with division. And you can study the book of 1 Corinthians to understand that. And the occasion of the writing, amen, of the book of Corinthians was that 1 Corinthians came from the Spirit of God through the apostles' grief and his solitude and his holy indignation, amen. Amen. Sometimes we're told as preachers that we should not let our feelings and our emotions get involved in our ministry and in our message. But I'm telling you right now that the book of Corinthians is the very result of the emotions and the heart and the anxiety that the Apostle Paul had over the condition of the Corinthian church. Amen. This anxiety is the uneasiness of the mind occasioned by the fear of evil. Amen. I'm just going to tell us right now that we cannot, amen, survive in this day and hour by putting our heads in the sand like a flamingo and watching as the world burns and as the world goes by. Amen. I believe that God lets the atmosphere of the church arrange the atmosphere of our heart in righteous indignation. Amen. 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 I believe that with all my heart. I find that Paul had heard these disturbing reports, amen, that had reached Paul at Ephesus concerning the moral laxity of the members of the Corinthian church. As we find that in chapter 1 and verse number 11, as the house, amen, of Chloe there, how that it had been reported to the Apostle Paul of everything that was going on at the church at Corinthian. Amen. At the church of Corinth, amen. It was reported to him that they were divided. Amen. In verse number 12, he talks about everyone saith, I'm of Apollos, and I'm of Apollos, and I'm of Cephas, and I am of Christ. Amen. You say, well, those that are of Christ were right. No, they were using it in a derogative way, amen. In a way of division. Well, I'm not part of them, I'm part of Christ, amen. But see, they were divided in such multiple ways that it brought about, amen, a burden upon the heart of the Apostle Paul. They were filled with divisions. They were filled with schisms, the breach of unity. They were filled with contentions and strife and the contention over superiority of who they was to follow and who they was to pattern their lives after. Amen. And it so grieved the heart of the Apostle Paul that that's where we find forthcoming in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, where the Apostle Paul begins to instruct them in something that I think that we need to hear this day, in this day and hour. Amen. 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 And I look at this context, and I don't know how to title the message, but my heart is to take heed. Amen. What the Apostle Paul was telling them, that if you don't get some things right and get some things under blood and get back to what you should be, he said, I'm just going to tell you, better take heed lest you fall. Amen. 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 I'm telling you something. Some of the atmosphere that we're seeing be developed and being forthcoming in our day and hour, amen, is going to lead the church of the living God. Amen. That there's going to be a great falling away. And that is the truth. Amen. There must come a falling away. But I'm telling you something that, amen, I believe that there's going to be a falling away because men give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Amen. I've never seen a day and hour where people do not try the spirits and know whether or not they be of God. Amen. Amen. Let some little spirit come flying by and they find themselves on a tangent and follow something that is so anti-God and anti-biblical. Amen. I'm telling you something, if it does not line up with the book, it is not of God. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you something right now. The Spirit of God will never lead you to do anything, amen, different from the Word of God. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you something. We need to saturate ourselves with the infallible Word of God, that our minds might be appealed to be more thoughtful, amen, of the mind of Christ in the 66 books of the Bible, that God give us to mold and to make man's mind more, amen, thoughtful of the knowledge of the holy. Amen. Amen, amen. I'm telling you something, my heart is so burdened, I just sometimes don't even know what to do. Amen. Amen. But as I look at this passage of Scripture, amen, in chapter number 9, amen, we'll deal with a few things here. The Apostle Paul, amen, we know the text and we know how he talks about they that run, they run that they may obtain. Then he goes down and talks about this corruptible crown. Amen. And this incorruptible crown. Verse 26 said, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it under subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should become a castaway. Amen. The Apostle Paul is expressing, amen, to the believers at Corinthians in their carnality, that even himself, even the Apostle Paul, the chosen of God to the Gentile nation, amen. Amen. He even cautions them that he keeps his body, he brings it under subjection, lest he himself should become a castaway. Amen. And I'm telling you something, it's a fearful thing to think about becoming a castaway. Amen. Amen, amen. I'm telling you something. Nobody wants to think about that. Everybody thinks about everybody else falling. We never think about that. It was us that might be the one that needed to take heed and lest we fall. Amen. And the Apostle Paul said, I fear lest I, after preaching unto you and preaching to others, I myself should become a castaway. Amen. Amen, Brother Winslow. How many people do we know that are used to be and a has been? Amen. I'm telling you something. Amen. There's been many people that have said, amen, in this Jubilee over the years that from one year to the other, they thought they were standing. They thought they had everything right. They thought they had their ducks in the row. But little did they know that the pride of the fact that they thought and they thinketh that they were standing, that they found themselves to become a castaway. And they become, amen, a disgrace to the name of Christ and the disgrace to Christianity. Amen. Because is God not big enough to keep us sheltered in his arms? Amen. This thought of this castaway here becomes a thought, Brother Willis. Amen. The Apostle Paul did not want to become a negative to Christianity. Amen. Now we may not shout her out today. Amen. 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 I've lost my handkerchief. Anybody see where I put it? Amen. Amen. I hate the devil to get you distracted about everything. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you something. The Apostle Paul did not want to become a negative. Amen. And I believe that. I preach a message. Amen. Amen. About. Amen. Here's one. Thank you. It's mine. Amen. I preach a message on this thought. Amen. On being an addition or a subtraction to your church. Amen. Kind of what Brother Rackley said last night. But I'm telling you something right now. The Apostle Paul said, I do not want to become a castaway, Brother Willis, because I do not want to be a negative to the namesake of Christ. Amen. 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 People have no confidence in old time religion anymore because they've seen so many negatives that they question whether or not it's really real. Amen. And so the Apostle Paul is trying to caution these believers here at Corinthians in their carnality and standing on their own pride. I'm a Paul, I'm Apollos, I'm a Cephas, I'm of Christ. They were division, they were filled with divisions, they were filled with contentions, amen. And they found themselves being liable to fall, amen. Amen, amen. I'm telling you something. We're living in a dangerous day and hour. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you something. It burdens my heart to think about who may not be in these services next year. Who may be the one that becomes the castaway. Who becomes the one that becomes a negative to Christianity. Amen. You say, preacher, not me. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Amen. You say, I would never do that. I would never do this. I wouldn't do that. Let me tell you something. The only problem with some people is that opportunity and lust have never met in the same room. Amen. I'm telling you something today, I fear this. I'm scared to death, amen. Amen, I'm telling you something. Amen, I'm just a wondering, amen. Amen, who's going to be the next on the list of statistics? I don't know why God had me to preach this today, but God's really burdened my heart, amen. I would to God somebody would preach it. I would to God that somebody would warn those. Amen. I'm telling you something. We learned a little bit about God. Amen. We've got a little bit of religion. We've got a little bit of ritual. Amen. And we forget about, amen, that it is God. Amen. That is the keeper of our soul. Amen. Preachers, I'm encouraging you today. Amen. Don't be filled with pride that you're still standing. And you're still doing this and you're still doing that. Amen. My soul is burdened today. Amen. This preaching style is even a little different today. God knows how to arrange the atmosphere. I'm telling you something. Amen. Who is it in this building? You've been contemplating. You've been thinking about things. You're tired of the battle. You're tired of the fight. Amen. And you're just thinking about, I'm just going to give in to the flesh. And I'm going to do what the flesh says. And if opportunity knocks, amen, upon my door, amen, I'm just tired of the fight. Amen. Oh, it fears me, Brother Mullins. I don't want to prophesy my own demise. Amen. May God put a hedge of protection reputation of humility about us this day. Amen. Oh, I'm not here to impress you. I'm here to strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die. Oh, our heroes. Amen. I'm telling people, talking about where's the preachers? Where's the men of God? Where's those that's coming on? Where's the heroes? Amen. Where's those that you just love to be around? Rub shoulders. Amen. Get them to sign your Bible just to be in their presence. Amen. While we've been hypnotized. Amen. The devil's got a severe hypnotized with the little attacks upon the ministry in the church. And why he's got us hypnotized over here. He's over here slaughtering and taking down and knocking men off one by one. Amen. Sometimes I sit down and watch FBI files, something of forensic evidence. And one of the greatest things that criminals do is they'll create a diversion across town that all the police officers will go over there and be looking into this while they're over here committing the crime. Amen. And I'm telling you something, that's what the devil's done. Brother Willis, he's distracted us and called it a diversion over here. And my God, our brethren, our generals, amen, they're falling left and right. Because we're not taking heed. Number one, when I look in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 1, Paul was trying to teach them. He said, I've not arrived to where I've got the point that I don't even have to keep my body under subjection. Y'all just have to overlook me today. Every preacher gets up wanting to do his best. And amen, I'm telling you something. I just got to throw that out the window today. But Paul said, I even in my age have to keep my body under subjection. Amen. Can I tell you something? I'm just soon to be 45 years old. My brother Buster, I've learned this. It ain't getting no easier. The battles are deeper. They're harder. They're more powerful. There's more pressures. There's more stress. Amen. I'm telling you something. The battles are raging. Amen. And the longer you stand, the more. Amen. I remember we used to clear lots and run machinery. And if a tree wouldn't push over it a little bit, you'd give it more throttle. You'd move the bucket more. You'd push it more. You'd do what it took to push it over. Amen. And that's what the devil does. The longer men stand, amen, the more pressure he puts on them that they'd become a castaway. Become a negative. What's killing us is so many negatives. I'm telling you something. You see people get saved in this hour. And we've got this saying that they've got so much baggage. And they've got so many negatives. Brother Willis, you had experienced that firsthand, amen. In your mind, you cannot wrap your hands around how in the name of God this is even going to work out. And something that's negative would become positive, amen. I'm telling you something. God, help us today to take heed lest we fall. And I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, we live in a computer-friendly world. And if you fall today, it'll be known all over the world by tonight. Boy, I'm just walking through this. I know this is not a camp meeting message. But I'm telling you something today. Amen. God's put something in my heart. Amen. Amen. Know why God's reminding me of this? I think about what Jude said. He said, and some having compassion, making the difference. But others, amen. Amen. He said to save with fear and fire. Amen. And we know the context of the scripture. I'm telling you something right now. Here's what God's put in my heart. Amen. And according to that scripture, there'll be some that'll not be salvaged unless somebody stands up and preaches and puts the fear of God in people's hearts once again. Amen. Now you look at that context, amen. Amen. Don't you dare take me wrong. But I'm telling you something, we've so hooked up compassion to the point that there's people going to go to hell without God because nobody's ever preached and put the fear of God in people's heart anymore, amen. You better fear it. Could you be falling? It could be me falling, amen. Brother Willis, I'm learning, amen. Let's look at that, amen. Amen. I want to be mindful of the Holy Spirit and the pastor's great authority. Amen. And he said, and others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire. If all we manifest on is compassion, there'll be others that'll go to hell. They'll be standing in the judgment saying, you never preached where I needed to be. Amen. And I'm telling you something, Amen. You think about that. You think about that. If I say Jonathan Edwards, what do you think of? If I say Gerald Smith, what do you think of? If I say Percy Ray, what do you think of? It's never a message of compassion. It's a message of judgment, of the fiery indignation of a holy God. Folks, I'm not in this thing, amen, for popularity. Amen. There's something burning in my heart, amen. Amen. How art the mighty fallen? Amen. Why are people falling? Why are they thrown into the towel? I'm going to tell you why. Because they thought there's a standing. And you bear with me today. As I look at this passage of Scripture, Paul begins in chapter number 10. He said, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how all our fathers were under the cloud." If there's anything that God give us 66 books is that we would not claim the excuse of ignorance. God has given man an intellect, amen. I preached last Wednesday on the thought, amen, in the book of Genesis, amen, when God spoke to man and said that thou mayest eat of all the trees of the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, amen. And I'm telling you something, what God has so created man, that when God spoke to that man, that his sheep hear his voice, it awakened and aroused and understood his intellect very instantaneously to know who God was, to name him. The first thing that God spoke to man in the garden was a commandment from God, amen. Thou shalt not, amen. And what I'm saying is, God's sheep hear his voice, and God does not want us to be ignorant, amen. Therefore, Paul says, God has given me a word to give you that you would not be ignorant to understand. You better take heed lest you fall. Oh, as I go through the Scriptures and begin to dissect the Scriptures. The Bible said, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud and passed through the sea, baptized of Moses." Verse number, amen, 5. Look what the Bible says. "With many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." What kind of day and hour are we living in? Wilderness. Amen. You just bear with me. I'm telling you something. They were overthrown in the wilderness. Little did they realize, Brother Willis, they thought they were standing. Now you bear with me. Now watch this in verse 6. "Now these things were our examples to the intent..." Verse 6, 1 Corinthians 10, 6. "Now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted." Verse number 11. "Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, for our warning, upon whom the ends of the world are come." Amen. God give us this 1 Corinthians 10 to warn us in these days and hours that the ends of the world have come. Amen. Or take heed lest you fall. Now I want you to watch this. Let's back up and look in verse number 1. Notice what the Bible says. "And I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud." That's one time he used the word "all." "And all passed through the sea." That's two times. Verse 2, "And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and the sea." That's three times. Verse 3, "And all did eat the same spiritual food." That's four times. "And did all drink the same spiritual drink." That's five times. What does the number 5 represent? Grace. What I'm saying is that even though it's Old Testament, even though it's the church and the wilderness, God still had grace upon them. Now I want you to watch something in this context. You got to get that, amen. Amen, amen. Amen. You say, "Well, how are we going to make it?" Amen. All of them even had grace. But yet they fell in the wilderness, amen. Amen. We are not hyper-Calvinist, amen. Amen, amen. Don't, amen, amen. Boy, I feel boldness roll up in my heart and I say that, amen. Amen, I'm telling you, amen, amen. Commercial break, amen. I'm just telling you right now, amen, we're saved by grace. But I don't believe we're necessary all the way kept by grace, amen. Now understand what I'm saying. Don't take me wrong when I say that, amen. You say I'm saved by grace, I'm kept by grace. That still don't mean you can't fall. Don't take me wrong. Please don't take me wrong. Y'all understand what I'm saying? See, we pride ourselves, amen. I'm saved by grace, I'm kept by grace. I'm telling you something, there's a many of them that's fallen that are saved by grace, amen. Don't you, and nobody's taking me wrong, are you? See, that's a little touchy subject with some of us. But I'm telling you something right now. Amen. Amen. It's the truth, ain't it, Brother Willis? I'm telling you something right now. These people are just as saved as you and I are. But they're falling. You cannot separate man from being a free moral agent. Amen. That's the first thing God exercised him. Thou mayest freely eat thereof. Amen. Amen. Now watch this. The first thing I see is they were obnoxiously at ease. Amen. Paul was reminding them of his ever continuing battle of a crown, to be a crown or a castaway. Amen. Paul strived to conduct himself in such a way that his character and conduct was not inconsistent with his doctrine. Amen. He did not want to become a castaway. Amen. He did not want to become a negative to the namesake of Christ. Amen. What I find in this church, amen, and Paul brings into light here, of the children of Israel, man. Amen. They felt like they were secure because of what they had obtained. Amen. They felt like they were secure because they had the high privileges of God. They felt like they're secure because they had the knowledge of God. Amen. But yet the Bible said to take heed lest you fall. Amen. 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 Y'all still all right with what I said a while ago? Amen. I'm telling you something. Amen. Amen. Just overlook me. Amen. I'm just, bear with me in my folly. Amen. I'm telling you something right now. Just because you're saved don't mean you're always going to stand. And I'm telling you something. It fears me. Amen. If we ever, amen. I used to run equipment, done said that. And want, you want to get in trouble running equipment? Don't be scared of it. You want to get in trouble with God? Don't be fearful that it could be us next. Amen. Now, I want you to watch. He talked about being rejected and worthless. Amen. Amen. Which was thrown away. Amen. That thought about that castaway is that which is thrown away and discarded. Amen. That is of no value. That cannot be used anymore. That becomes a negative. Amen. In the hands of the potter. Amen. Amen. In the context, the Corinthians had gloried as if they had finished their course and were now at ease when they were scarcely past the starting point. Now, I want you to think about that again. I'm going to read that again. The Corinthians had gloried as if they had finished their course and were now at ease when they had scarcely, amen, passed the starting point. Amen. They thought they had done got this thing down, everything figured out. And really, they was not even past the starting point. So preach what you're going to say. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Now watch this. They were at ease in ignorance of what befell the people of Israel and the consequence of this. So what the Apostle Paul did through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost is, dear pastor, he started telling them what happened to the children of Israel in the wilderness. The first thing I want to point out is, number one, here's one thing I want you to look at. Notice what the Bible says. When I emphasized a while ago that word all, when that teaches us, amen, that all had equal opportunities in the wilderness. Now, don't you think about what I'm saying. We're not shouting around, but you listen to me. I'm telling you something right now. We are a direct result of our choices in our life. When I look at this church in the wilderness, they all had equal opportunities, amen. They all passed through the sea, amen. They were all under the cloud. They were all baptized. They all ate the same spiritual meat. They all drank from the spiritual rock, amen. They all had equal opportunity to be something for God, to make it to the promised land. But some did not take heed unless they fall. Amen. May I say to us that every one of us have opportunity to be like Paul and say, I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. Every one of us have equal opportunity. But the problem is, Brother Willis, some just don't take heed. You bear with me. The Bible says the first one is how all our fathers were under the cloud. Now I want you to watch this. I thought about this. All were under the cloud. If they were all under the cloud, that cloud was a sense of the protection of God, Brother Winsaw. And as I think about this, amen, that protection, it preserved many of the Jews called it the cloud of glory. Now, don't you listen to this old-fashioned preacher. Just because they were under the cloud of glory did not make them exempt from falling. You may tell you something, and I'm going to go down through Scripture and describe this. But sometimes we feel like, because we're under the cloud of an independent Baptist church, that nothing's going to happen to us. And we feel like as long as we're under the cloud of a King James Bible, that nothing's going to happen to us. And we feel like because we're under the cloud of separation, which I'm absolutely for, that nothing's going to happen to us. But in the context of the Scripture, Paul was trying to teach him, you've all had equal opportunity. He said, but you need to take heed lest you fall. I'm just walking through this. Notice what the Bible said they were all. I'm not going in the depth of these. And all passed through the sea. When I thought about that, God showed me this spoke of the preservation of God. God preserved them and worked miracles. God, they got to see a miracle of God when the sea walls congealed on each side. Amen. Brother Williamson, I'm telling you something, to see the miracles of God, seeing God preserve them through the sea. Brother Willis, amen. I'm telling you something, we've seen the miracles of God. We've seen God do things, amen. We've experienced the hand of God. But what Paul was saying is, he said, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. You can see all these things that still fall. Amen. You bear with me, amen. These are, when God does things like this, God lets many scriptures accumulate to build a point. And God is letting all these things accumulate to build a point that everything that they had, but yet they still fell in the wilderness, amen. I'm telling you something, amen. It scares me. Amen. People find security in places they should not find security, amen. Amen, amen. I'm telling you something, this book, as far as the ink is concerned, and as far as the paper is concerned, Brother Willis, it does nothing for us. It takes the inspiration of the Holy Ghost to bring it to light, amen. I cannot find security in paper and ink, amen. And I'm telling you something, people priding themselves because of what they believe, where they go to church, how they dress, what they do. They say, bless God, I ain't never going to fall, amen. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. So all passed through the sea very lightly, the preservation of God. Not only to see the protection of God, and the preservation of God. But don't you look at the third thing. The Bible said, and we're all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. This point interested me. And this is what the Lord showed me in studying. Please don't dissect me, amen. Let me give you what God's put on my heart, amen. All were baptized unto Moses. When I thought about the protection of God and the preservation of God, but the third thing is the preacher of God. Now I want you to watch this. When you and I begin to study this, this blessed my heart. Their union with Christ was through the following of Moses. And when God said they were baptized under Moses, it meant that they were baptized. They were under the authority of Moses. They were baptized under his leadership. They were baptized under his authority as he led the children of Israel. But Paul still said, Brother Willis, he said, take heed. Let him that think of thee stand and take heed, lest he fall. You may have the greatest preacher in shoe leather, but you better take heed, lest you fall. It means to be submerged. It means to be subject to his leadership. Well, there's a whole message right here. They were baptized under Moses. It means they were submerged and subject to Moses' leadership. When they went down in that Red Sea, they did it because they were baptized under Moses in his leadership and his direction. Amen. I'm telling you something, people don't want to follow the man of God. I'm telling you something, amen. They've got a real problem, but I'm telling you something. We think, well, those that follow him will never fall. Not so. I know it's quiet. Honestly, my heart feels like there might be somebody that's on the verge of falling in this building. And I'm telling you something, I really feel like God has burdened my heart to warn them to take heed lest they fall. When I think about this, they were baptized in the cloud. They were baptized in the sea by Moses' leadership, amen. And enemies destroyed, amen. Amen. They were baptized under his authority in the cloud, in the sea, because they were under, baptized, his authority. It was organization and subordination, amen. It dealt with the rank of God. He was responsible for what was under the cloud and under his guide, amen, and under the sea, amen. And they were baptized under Moses. They bowed, they go. To his leadership. But Paul told this church at Corinth, he said they were in the wilderness. They had a good pastor. They had a good leader. He carried a King James Bible. He followed God. He lifted up the rod. He preached it straight. He told it right. He had high standards. He had everything you could ask for in a God-called pastor. But he said, you that think you stand, he said, take heed lest you fall. I'm not standing because Brother Buster's standing. I'm not standing because Brother Jarvis is standing. I'm not standing because anybody else is standing. We're standing because we've took heed lest we fall. There comes a time when circumstances increase. If you're in a tornado, it's easy for us to gather and bless the Lord, we're all standing. But you let a tornado blow through this building, and man's natural instinct is to salvage his own self and to make sure that he is safe and he's standing, amen. Then his mind will kick in and think about others. But what I'm saying is that sometimes, amen, when we're all together, it's easy to stand here and it's easy to pop our spiritual suspenders. But I'm telling you what's going to happen this evening and tomorrow. You're going to make your way back to your grounds. You're going to make your way back to your hood. Amen. And you're going to start preaching. You're going to deal with your problems. You're going to deal with your people. Amen. You're going to deal with those things that are weaknesses to you and the devil knows about. Amen. I'm just telling you now with all the voice I've got, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. It's easy to stand in a meeting like this. It's easy to stand when you're around the camaraderie of the brethren. But it's another thing when you go back to your foxhole with your battalion and you're swinging the sword and you're firing the shots and the temptations and the devil's coming, amen. Amen. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Just bear with me. Then the Bible says, not only they were all baptized, the most inclined to sin, all did eat the same spiritual meat. And I'm entitled this, just the way God showed me and did eat the same spiritual meat. And I'm entitled this, the present of God. And I'm talking about they eat of the same spiritual meat. I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. They eat of that manna. Y'all still with me? Amen. Here's what I'm saying. Brother Willis, they tasted of heavenly things. They eat of heavenly things. They watch God supply heavenly things. But he said these fell in the wilderness. Brother Wenzel, I hear stories all the time about men that had the anointing of God. They tasted of heavenly things. But they didn't take heed. I want to tell some of you older preachers, thank you for taking heed. Thank you for knowing they were but flesh. I'm not a God of psychological issue about the fear of falling, but I do fear falling. Brother Jarvis, thank you. I'm sure there's been times in your life we may not ever mention it to anybody, but you just felt like quitting, going to the world, living it up, doing whatever the flesh would desire. But a man takes heed, lest he falls. You just bear with me. Let me give my heart. It don't matter if people pat me on the back. I want the mind of God to be displayed to the heart of his people. We need to take heed. As I think about the presence of God real quickly, notice what the Bible said. All did drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. This speaks of the presence of God. I'm talking about when you think of drinking, Brother Joe, it's talking about ingesting and taking in and refreshing and sustaining life. They were able to, they understood the life of God. But they didn't take heed. I feel like I'm failing to get my heart across. I'm telling you something. May God help us to cry loud and spare not. The only reason anyone's in this building tonight, today, is because we've taken heed, lest we fall. You see, it's natural when you get older to become more fragile and more limited in your stability. Now, I want you to watch how God has made an application for us. You're more cautious about foot placement. You're more cautious about your terrain. You're more cautious about where you go and what you do. So God has let our natural body teach us a spiritual lesson that the older we get, the more wiser we should become, that we should watch where we put our feet, where we step, where we go, and what we do. And the older you get when you fall, there is a lot more damage. If a young preacher falls, you just write him off in the list of those that were used to be and has-beens and never make it. But when a soldier that's blazed the trail, that's baptized into Moses, under the cloud, through the sea, experienced the rock, experienced the manna, they knew God. When they fall, it has a catastrophic effect on God's people. Let a man that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. This deals with the presence of God. Sometimes we're presumptuous in our own security. Now, I ain't even got to open up. God's just not opened my heart up to see it. But the more times I'm afraid we're presumptuous because we're independent Baptists. And we're presumptuous because we carry a King James Bible. and we're presumptuous because our family dresses right. And we do right and talk right and spit white. And we meet the criteria that's going to cause us to stand. What greater to fall is somebody that thinks they're a standing. If you study the context of the Scripture, let him that thinketh he standeth. The context teaches me, Brother Mullins, that he could be in the process of falling, but yet mentally he still thinks he's standing. I know God's calmed this atmosphere because folks is listening. Sometimes, Brother Willis, we're really falling, but we think we're standing. Let me tell you where a lot of preachers are. They may not be fallen because of sin, but they're a fallen because of the load, and they think they're standing. But I'm warning you from the burden of my heart, let a man that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. I'm done. Would you come to the piano? That's all right, preacher. I'm going to try to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. Say, it's not me, preacher. That's a perfect candidate. Say, I would never do that. That's a perfect candidate. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed. They had everything. They had the greatest church, had the greatest preacher, had the greatest directions. They had everything the best. If we wouldn't let stand all over the building, folks, it's already a coming. You men of God, I'd like you to pray. And I'll tell you something, if there's anybody in this building that means anything to you, you're to go around and thank them for taking heed and not falling. Let him that thinketh he standeth. I know my mind's been simple today, but it's come from my heart. Preacher, I don't want to put on a facade. I don't want to act like everything's like something that it ain't. I know what it's like to be in those lonely times. In that wilderness, but God said he's left these an example and an ensample for us when the ends of the world are come. I'm glad God loves us enough to give us an example through the children of Israel that we should take heed lest we fall. I don't know if it'll mean anything to you, but Pastor Jeffrey D. Brown, Emmanuel Baptist Church in Lansing, North Carolina, thanks every precious man of God that's still in the fight, has not thrown up, has not quit. I must tell you to take heed. You're just a man. Take heed lest you fall. I think it'd be real appropriate when you preachers get done praying just to hug one another's necks and say, thank you, preacher, for standing and staying through, fighting the fight, not falling. May God help us today. Thank you. War that the men, now listen to me, the men in Vietnam become so battle fatigued, Brother Willis, they didn't know how to get them over that battle fatigue. And they started bringing them all to these tents ever so often where they could fellowship and just be together. And that camaraderie would instill that vigor and vitality in them once again to go back out and fight. And I just want to tell you, that's what we need today. That's what these meetings like this are for with the wolves. It's so we can come together and say, hey, I thought you was dead. I thought you was shot. I thought you failed. No, we're still in the battle. We're still fighting. We're still armored. We're still ready to go. Amen. It charges me. Hey, if you made it, I can make it. Amen. If you're fighting, I can still fight. Amen. And I just want to encourage you. Love you. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Jarvis. In the depths of my heart.